Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
It puts it in perspective.
Just that music does?
I feel like it does.
Tim, what is your perspective from this music?
Well, I wonder and worry about Lana Rhodes.
Man.
Related to Arthur Rhodes. Bullpen.
Cardinal reliever, 2011. It just seems like something's off.
We're losing her.
She posted a picture. She's getting heated with some people on the Twitter tweets. Some people are suggesting that when you do squats, it doesn't make your ass do what hers is doing, and she is contending it is real. I don't know.
What is it doing to her?
It's making only her ass grow. The rest of her body is still very, very thin. This is something I believe people have been doing squats since 2012, 2013.
People have been doing squats forever.
And you haven't seen their asses just suddenly balloon up like they've been injected with something. And then now she has Doug, I showed you the picture on the fan page. She has a new hairstyle, and some people are suggesting that's not real.
Didn't look like it to me.
And that has her upset as well. So, Iggy, this is kind of an assignment when you go out to Las Vegas, and I know you have a rapport with her. When's the last time you guys texted and talked it over?
I texted her Wednesday to let her know I was coming the day of the ends and if we could get together, and she hasn't gotten back to me. So.
No,
I'll get to the bottom of it. I'll ask straight out. I know you're going after some people on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been injections in your butt?
Good question.
Thank you. Thank you for the delicious
And that would
boner.
Upset her. Doesn't everyone kind of know that these folks, a lot of them have plastic surgery?
Yeah, I know. I don't know why, like the breast enhancement, the lip enhancement, facial surgery, that's fine. But the butt thing, very defensive about it. As if you do squats and all of a sudden now you have Kim Kardashian's ass. I don't get it.
Why would anyone want that?
For some, they find that really attractive.
Two axe handles wide?
That's right.
I don't get it.
Well, some people like some.
Some people like some things and some people don't like other things.
That's right. I know the fan page is going to be excited because I found out yesterday that one of the people that is going to be at the AVNs is the one they called Hammerhead Shark.
Mm. Oh, you're going to get to talk it over with
Lucy Wilde. I don't know if she speaks English, but Lucy Wilde will be there.
What would she speak? Where's she from?
Russian?
I would make a play on Eastern Europe.
Yeah. Slovakia, Russia, something like that.
Can you hear me, dude?
Of course, I said Fanny was from England, so what do I know?
Yeah, just got a text from the English. Cat, who is on the show, sitting right next to me. Things I'm considering for lunch, soup and salad, drummies, or skipping it. Doug, so there's that.
I like to let Tim know what I'm working on.
Okay. Yeah, we all need that info.
Drummies sound good, by the way. I mean, it's your lunch, but... Hey, look, everybody, it's Eddie McVeigh. Do we have an open for this or not? We do. All right,
Picks of the Week are powered by Maggie O'Brien's.
I make picks, you make money.
Take the Maggie's shuttle to and from all major sporting events in St. Louis. Plus, enjoy live music on Friday and Saturday nights with food until 2 a.m. Maggie O'Brien's, on the corner of Market and 20th Street.
Union Station is next to us.
Now, it's time to profit from the Picks of the Week.
Will you hang in money circles?
I'm a money man.
Well, there it is. And Doug, nobody has been more successful with their picks this year. Than me, as I am currently at 45.7% against the spread, and then on my locks, I'm at 31.6% after losing last week. So that's about, you want to be about 33%. So I'm a little
on the lock. Yeah, the ones that you're guaranteeing.
Right.
Seems like a broken lock. Thanks, Tim.
Eddie, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. And I would like to clarify, after years of doing squats, that you do need to inject something in your butt to have a butt like mine. So
is that what you've done?
That has now been established. I was wondering, you and Kim Kardashian kind of the same. How was opening weekend at the all-new Maggie O'Brien's, where O'Leary's used to be?
Where you guys were, and I thank you once again. It was a hit. We did, actually, all kidding aside, Friday and Saturday, Sunday, we had a very, very good weekend. So thank you for your help in doing that. It was a nice little start. So
outstanding. It didn't surprise me, but I'm glad. I'm very, very glad to hear it. We have four this weekend, and then if you want to have a lock, feel free. I'll do it, and you can bet against it. That's kind of the move. Falcons -3 at Eagles. Eddie, where are you on this one? The Falcons on the road as the sixth seed, a favorite at the one that's never happened before.
I do want to point out once again that I said the Falcons not only would cover, but they would beat the Rammies outright. I didn't want to have to talk trash, but there you have it. I'm going to go with Falcons on this one. I've been taking the points in this so far pretty much, but I think Falcons will win that game. So I'm going to go with Falcons.
Doug, where are you on this one?
I don't like where the Eagles are right now. I told you last week that I thought the Falcons would not just win.
This is just what Eddie said. This is just what Eddie said.
The Falcons would destroy the Rams. And so I'm going to go ahead and take the Falcons with the points.
Nice. Well done.
I've become a huge Falcon fan. My love for them dates back all the way to just before they played the Rams.
Oh.
So I'm going to stick with the Falcons.
I worry now that we're all taking the Falcons that the Eagles will somehow win, although I don't know if I would really wager on it. What I'm going to do each step of the way, though, is I'm going to give you my four-team sweet hot teaser, Doug, which you will ship, and you can tease 13 points either way on a sweet hot teaser. Lower that over-under from 41 to 28 on the Falcons and Eagles. That's where your play is. That's where your play is, but I will take the Falcons as well. Game number two tomorrow, Titans at Patriots. Patriots -13, Eddie.
I want to take those points. It's so many points for an NFL playoff game, but then I don't know how I bet against those two crazy bastards. So I'm gonna take New England.
Doug, are you on the?
I don't like the Titans at all either. I think the Patriots will win that game easy. I'll take New England.
I think Brady and Belichick are going to send a message. We are together. We are not at odds.
Nice.
And I'm going to take the Patriots. I think they roll.
This is scary because we're all taking the exact same thing, which means the Eagles and the Titans will somehow cover. I will take the Patriots as well. But, Doug, what you're more interested in is my sweet hot teaser.
Sure.
You can move it 13 points. How about this? You now have the Patriots even in a pick 'em. Oh, my God.
What a sweetheart teaser.
Let's see. Jaguars at Steelers. Steelers are -7. This is in Pittsburgh on Sunday. Eddie.
I'm going to take those points on this one. I'm going to take Jacksonville.
Doug.
Team Jackson.
Okay, Eddie. The Jaguars won, but barely, over a Buffalo team that wasn't much of a playoff team either. I think the Steelers will win that easily.
I'm going Steelers.
Close games.
I have a question for Eddie before we get to Tim's pick.
Oh, I love this.
You are a nice guy. Your new place was beautiful. I ate there. The food is great. But your association with this show, because a lot of times I hear you kind of like laughing to yourself. Are you thinking to yourself, this show is really stupid, honestly?
No, not at all. I enjoy it. So if there was one show, boys, that I should have ever been associated with, it was this one.
Yeah, fair enough.
It makes absolutely no sense every week.
Yep, that's true.
I'm thinking to myself, what the hell are we doing? So, it's a perfect fit.
Yep,
but
thank you for your
candor. All the people that you've interviewed over the years, you can now add me to your list of Albert Pujols, Mark McGwire.
Yep, all the greats.
I'm
going to
put you
all
right there.
All the greats.
Yeah. I'm with Eddie on this with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think there's a chance they win it. I don't know if I would necessarily bet that, although they are +300 if you do want to make a money line play on the Jaguars. But I just wonder about that situation in Pittsburgh. Doug, what's Antonio Brown feeling like? I saw him working out with Chad Ochocinco this week. I don't know.
Or was that at Fenton North? You saw him on
Fenton North. I think this one's going to be a low scoring game. And so for my sweetheart teaser, tease that total from 41 up to 54 and take the under. Now you're three quarters of the way home. And now we have this one. Saints at Vikings. Vikings -4.5. Eddie, where are you on this one?
I'm going to go with Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. I don't know why, but I think that I could see them in the Super Bowl. So I'm going to take New Orleans.
No, I'm not. I like the Vikings. I think the Vikings can run the ball. I think the Vikings can throw the ball. I think the Vikings can kick the ball.
Special team. Don't forget about the special team.
I think the Vikings, with their special team, will come up and win this game and cover the points.
I think two things. Something is very seriously wrong with Doug.
Mm.
And I believe that the Saints will win this game.
I'm with you on the Saints. They're the Super Bowl champions for the season, and it's exciting to know it before it happens. The Saints getting 4.5 makes it even easier, although I will say this. I'm concerned by their pass defense last week and how the Panthers were able to put the points. The bigger concern, though, for whatever reason, Ingram and Kamara were held in check. They're going to have to be able to get the ball going on the ground on Sunday because there's Xavier Rhodes matched up with Michael Thomas, Doug, and I don't know if you can get yourself to a NFC Championship game on the shoulders of Ted Ginn Jr. I don't know if you can.
Probably not, no.
So so you're going, oh, Tim, what's the final part of your sweet hot teaser? Sure, I'll be happy to tell you. Saints now, +17.5. There you go. There it is. It's whatever you want to do, whatever you want to wager, you want to just wager $10 just to get the thrill of it.
How much do you want to lose?
it's all it is hashtag free money. Eddie, do you have any locks? I wonder if you have any locks.
I do. I got a lock. Actually, two locks this week. One is there's not a better place if you're downtown St. Louis to watch all these football games this weekend. If you're Maggie O'Brien's right there at the corner market, 20th Street. Everyone knows Union Station is next to us. Four big screens, multiple high-def TVs, best chicken wings, Doug and Kat's favorite. They vote for them that way every year. And then if you happen to be Sunset Hills, please come out in that general location, Southwest County. We got all those new high-def TVs up waiting for you guys to show up and watch some football and hang out.
That is a good spot.
Maggie O'Brien.
It is a good spot. It is a good spot. The old O'Leary's, it's now Maggie O'Brien's in Sunset Hills. Come on by the water, Doug. It is warm. What is your lock, Doug? Are you out of play? Are you okay?
I think the Falcons. Falcons over the Eagles would be the lock.
Catch, you got it?
Falcons.
My lock is the under. I like to give a different play. The under.
But we don't even know what the under because we don't go and look that up. No,
the under on the Steelers and Jaguars. Doug, that's where I'm going on that. The under 41 is the total. Eddie, always appreciate it. Have a fine weekend at Maggie O'Brien's.
Gentlemen, thank you kindly. As always, I look forward to talking to you again. See you guys.
God bless. There he is. Eddie McVay of Maggie O'Brien's. There's a Maggie O'Brien's picks of the week. Now, Iggy puts together the drops of the week. People are like, oh, that's the cuts. I love the cuts. No, this is the drops.
Much different.
Here, take a listen.
Iggy, say it ain't so.
Oh, Iggy.
Iggy, no.
Iggy's drops of the week.
Tom Brokaw had mad dong game.
I was in a cuck situation.
Makes it sound like this is just some sort of sex show.
My gay best friend texted me to say he watched my gangbang, and it's the best one he's ever watched.
I'm sure Lana will spend a lot of time at Tushy.
He's got lemmings.
Like the Dickens, Jack.
I never noticed his ass, though.
Cucks. You're out of your freaking mind, cat-turd.
A cuck is short for a cuckold.
Pleasuring myself to Kay Parker.
Oh, flip that off.
Oh, that's certainly a cuck situation, but I'm all for the cuck.
Make 2018 the year of the dong.
She doesn't have great boobs.
It's just hot guys.
How do we know if he's whoring out his wife?
D-pick?
He likes oral, bro.
Sexwithablackgentleman.com. I don't remember saying that.
No, I remember when you said it. Or I thought it was inappropriate. I thought you should suspend yourself. I had to do it today.
No, well, I disavowed that.
Doug, 2 years ago today, the Rams received votes to move from St. Louis to Los Angeles after the NFL Committee on Relocation to Los Angeles voted 5-1 for the Chargers and Raiders to relocate to Carson.
Mm-hmm. Dark day in St. Louis history. And it was like 32 years almost to the day when the Big Red announced they were moving out of St. Louis.
So Carson was a ploy, was a mirage, in my opinion, was all along. No, look, we're sorry we had to leave St. Louis. The fans there are great, but look at the process we have. It's not just giving Stan his way. We're considering other options. Didn't buy it.
You didn't.
I didn't.
Didn't they clear land or something? They started to push some dirt around there, didn't they?
A little bit.
Well, that was an elaborate ruse then. If they were going to do it that way, I think they could have just done it, which is pretty much what they did.
My point is that this thing was green-lighted internally from the get-go for Stan to go where he is now.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And I think they became surprised by how much progress St. Louis made, which threw off the whole game. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. They thought they'll never come up with public financing for a stadium. No way. One that's going to be a billion-dollar stadium, they'll never do that in St. Louis. And yet we were somehow, they got it ready to go.
Here's Mike Francesa.
He hasn't been on the air now for quite some time.
Yeah, but this is a caller having trouble telling his story.
Chappie in New Canaan. What's up, Chappie?
Hello, Mike.
What the hell? What's happening? What's up? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
I'm here.
Let's go.
I'm here.
Oh. You got to go. Let's go talk. Hello?
Mike?
Yes, go. Go talk.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Hello?
Mike?
Yes, go. Would you start speaking?
Yes, I will.
I apologize that we had to get a Reader's Digest version, but we didn't have a lot of time. Leo in Jersey. What's up, Leo?
Flip off about it. I mean, it could have been a wonderful story, Doug. Who
Might
was his
been.
Name?
The guy kind of froze up. He pretty much froze up. When
Chappie in New Canaan. What's up, Chappie?
Chappie, where is that?
New Canaan?
New Canaan, Connecticut. They had a very good lacrosse team. We used to play them. Yeah.
They got a large geographic area there to get their callers.
Well, they got a big
Yes,
signal.
Go. Go talk.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Absolutely.
Hello?
He just broke this
Mike.
Poor
Yes,
man.
Go. Would you start speaking?
Well, he's got a lot to get to with those 5 hours.
Chappie in New Canaan. What's up, Chappie?
Chappie.
It's Chappie. New Pete.
Leo in Jersey. Go.
We didn't have a lot of time. Leo in Jersey. What's up, Leo?
Got to get to another call. You know how it's doing. Did you see Derek Gould talking it over with Adam Wainwright? Doug, this is his final year in his contract.
Yeah, I know that. I know. I hope they can find a way to keep him around after this year. Everybody loves Adam Wainwright. Does anybody not like Adam Wainwright?
I like him quite a bit. I'm not sure I want to find a way to keep him around, though, if it's going to drain the
budget.
I don't
think you meant him as a necessarily as a pitcher. You meant as part of the organization.
I don't think they're...
you think he might be done pitching after this year?
No, I'd like to see him. Bring him back.
I was asking the cap.
I don't think they'll bring him back for the $20 million a year he's making now, but I'd like to see him find a role for him somewhere.
All right. I think it depends on how he is this year, right? He's very confident. He thinks he will be the Waino of old. I hope he's right.
Yeah, hopefully so.
But I meant beyond even his career as a pitcher,
I think he'll
connected to the organization.
I think he'll probably be able to do whatever he wants to do. As smart a guy as he is and as well-liked and respected.
The cat is, he's still, I know you don't play golf or go out with the team playing golf. I know Dan McLaughlin said when he was on your podcast that he used to play with some of the guys. Is Wainwright still like a mad stick? I know he and Mulder and Loesch were all like just absurdly good, and I feel like he talked about at one point potentially when he was 50 playing on the Champions Tour. Is he still playing as much?
I know
he's
still
a mad
plays,
stick?
And I know he's still crazy competitive, but I don't know what his plans
Doug, is he
are.
A mad
just
stick?
Stop saying mad stick.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he sure is a good player. Too, offensively. He's a mad stick.
Pretty good hitting pitcher.
Yeah,
good hitting pitcher. Best the Cardinals have had in a while.
Derek Gould writing, you can read it on STLtoday.com or pick up a St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Wainwright, a cornerstone of the Cardinal current era, is entering the final season of his contract, and he's coming off a frustrating year that ended with injury and concern. Healthy and limber, a key to his offseason work. Wainwright will throw off a mound for the first time this winter next week, but he has no intention of thinking beyond his next pitch, not his next season. I'm not thinking about anything but that, but where I am right now. If this is it, if this is the last one, then I'll know that I poured everything I have into the season. This one coming up. That's the only way I can. If it's it, I gave it everything. At the end, I'm going to listen to my body. Mentally, I'm sharp. I don't want to think about 3 years ago, and I don't want to think about 3 years from now. I'm putting every ounce into this year, and whatever happens at the end, if it is the end, it happens. No regrets.
Well, hopefully, when you get down to spring training, we'll see a right-hander who's throwing free and easy.
Nice.
And in perhaps the best shape of his career.
Nice again.
I think when he gets on the mound, someone will say that. He'll say, Well, look at him. He's throwing free and easy. He's going to have a big year.
Now, sometimes the cliche is actually accurate. Like Matt Adams, Yachty 1 year, when they both show up, they show up differently. I'm interested in seeing Tommy Pham, who yesterday on our podcast, our guest this week is Luke Weaver,
who was great.
But Carpenter said, and Matt Carpenter is known as being, you know, one of those guys that works and works and shows up early. He said Tommy Pham is the hardest worker he's ever seen anywhere. And you see the videos of what Tommy Pham, he's toting around 500-pound, you know, weights, dragging him. Yep. He's on this treadmill. I'm interested to see. To me, that's the guy I'm really interested to see what he will be this year, Tommy Pham. And also Reyes coming back from surgery, may start in the bullpen. We'll get a late start. They won't. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, those are the two guys I'm interested to see if they're throwing free and easy.
I suspect Pham draws at least some motivation from the fact that he hasn't really been paid yet, like the other major leaguers are paid. And he's, 28, 29 years old and still making close to that minimum salary and hadn't become the multimillionaire that everybody around him was. And at the same time, he was about the best player on the team last year. So I'm sure he's thinking, I got to get another 2 or 3 years here at the same level, and then I, too, can not work the rest of my life.
A lot of folks are very, very high on Pham. We had Vaskirjan on for another podcast, and he thinks Pham is going to be great, if not better than he was last year.
Well, he should be able to have a chance to be better. He's going to play more. Well, he didn't even make the team out of spring training. Same with DeJong, who played two-thirds of a season and still led the National League shortstops and home runs.
Talking about what truly is just bizarre to me, and I don't know when it's going to move. Like, there's nothing. Like, Jay Bruce is it for this week. How nothing is going on in the Major League Baseball offseason. Here we are in mid-January. And will the J.D. Martinez Red Sox thing be the domino that gets it going? Well, John Heyman yesterday, I saw his report that they are an absolute stalemate. And Martinez is just not going to sign for what he believes to be less than his value. And so that's why it continues. I think, what the hell do I know? But I think that's what's holding everything up. I mean, you have a number of players. You could put an all-star team together almost out of the guys who are out there and available. You certainly could put a competitive roster together out of it. You'd have your starters. You'd have your closer. Yeah. And you'd have some big-time bats, and it's mid-January. And I don't know if we're going to get in a spot. It was a big deal, an outlier, so to speak, with Kyle Loesch coming in 2008, like while the Cardinals had already arrived in Jupiter. It seems inevitable that you're going to have that happen this time around, that you're going to have some guys arrive. So, what usually happens, I gather, I mean, I haven't had to cover the winter warm-up television in a while, but usually the winter warm-up would be, you know, state of the team, what was done over the last 2 months to improve the team, and start talking about lineup rotation and what the plans are when the Cardinals get to Jupiter. And I don't feel like, and nor do I would imagine anybody covering the team could feel like you can really, you know, sum up the off-season. Because I feel like the off-season's even mathematically, from a date standpoint, it's, you know, what, 75-80% over. But from a baseball standpoint, I don't even know if it's two-thirds of the way there. There's still a lot of business to tend to, and I still am of the opinion the Cardinals are going to be adding to that roster before they get to Florida here in a month.
I agree. The top guys set the market, and some of the top guys are Boris guys, and teams feel that the ask is too much and that they're overpriced right now and they don't reflect fair market value. So teams are waiting it out. That's really what it comes down to. I've seen firsthand teams saying that they might be interested on this guy or that guy, but they're going to wait because right now the cost is too high and they think eventually it will come down.
They've got runaway inflation going in baseball free agents. I mean, it wasn't very long ago where if you got a $40 or $50 million contract, and I'm talking 4 or 5 years ago, if you got $45 million or $40 to $50 million, that was a huge contract. And then the next year, well, I got to have at least $100 million. And the year after that, well, you know, we're going to sign Hosmer 7 years, $150 million. I can't see that the profits of the teams, most of them are going up that much, that fast. So why do they have to pay so much more every year?
And length, you know, like 4 years used to be a long-term deal. Now that's not considered. Now they're 7 years. Like, I just don't see a lot of teams eager to lock in a guy who maybe they're not so high on for 7 years.
And
like a guy like
they
Osmer.
Shouldn't be. They shouldn't have to buckle under just because one guy controls most of the players and Scott Boras. They shouldn't have to say, okay, well, these guys haven't signed, so I guess we got to give somebody a huge contract that's going to hamstring us here for the next 5 or 6 years. The teams ought to stand fast. We're not doing it.
Stubby applause with one perspective between Pham, Fowler, and Ozuna with Grichuk and Martinez coming off the bench. I think the Cardinal outfield is the one spot where the team has an advantage. And then Iggy's lie detector writing, let's all be honest with ourselves, the Cardinals won't be much different than last year. Starters will be worse without an addition, and the lineup still needs another bat. That's from Iggy's lie detector. And here's my perspective, which is a third perspective. I don't know what to tell you about my prognostication for the Cardinals for 2018, because I feel like there are still significant moves or a move that the team is going to make between now and then. I mean, one of the most important elements of a championship team, especially over the recent years, is the bullpen, and I feel like there's going to be an addition in the Cardinal bullpen. I would say within the next week, but based on this time schedule being so delayed for the top free agents such as J.D. Martinez still out there, I don't know. Maybe it'll be 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, will Lance Lynn be with the team by the end of January? You would have thought for certain. You could have thought it would be like by the end of December. Now I'm not even sure he'll be with the team by the end of January. That's not a reflection on Lynn so much as the pecking order of free agent signings.
I worry about the rotation. I do think they're going to add a bullpen piece. I'm not sure who that is, but if Reyes is going to start late, if he is possibly in the bullpen to start, I think their rotation is going to be a little thin. I think, yeah, I'd like to see him add another bat. I still think with the addition of Ozuna, I do think the offense will be better, measurably better. But the rotation is what concerns me right now.
If they don't add another starter, they must think that Alex Reyes is going to be ready to go as a starter.
Well, I mean, they think he's ready to go, but they want to limit his innings, so they won't say he's ready to go until May. You know, they're going to start him later than everyone else to manage the innings, and then have him supposedly available when the games are more important at the end or potentially for the playoffs. But they're also talking about him as a bullpen guy. So if he is a bullpen guy, then he's not a starter. You would think that
you definitely need somebody. Yeah. I don't know that Jack Flaherty showed you enough that you're going to hand him a starting spot. He was good in the minors, but he was so when he was up here. Might become better. You hope.
I don't know that
a contender is going to say Jack Flaherty is one of our five starters at the beginning of the year.
I wonder how deeply they're in on Arrieta. I'm going to find that out. I would love to see that. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, sure.
Not 5 years. Which is supposedly what Arrieta is looking for.
Probably what's holding everything up. All these guys want to be sure that they're playing, you know, well into the future, and the teams are saying, well, that doesn't make any sense for us. You're already 30-some-odd years old.
You would think, you know, the Cubs would be willing to give him 5.
Well, if they were, he'd probably resign with the Cubs by now.
Maybe they're reluctant.
I think they're all reluctant to give pitchers that are already 30-something, a 5-year contract.
Hear the Barstool chicks talking about
it. Break it down.
IKEA and peeing.
IKEA is asking pregnant women to pee on an ad for a discounted crib. This is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. They make it look like it's so easy to pee on this really tiny spot.
What?
Like that's very hard to do. Or what are they? You're going to pee in a cup and then pour your pee on the little strip. It's so small. Forget asking people why they want to pee on IKEA's ads. Why does IKEA want to receive people's pee-pee ads? IKEA is like, please pee on this for me. I want to receive your pee. I don't think IKEA understands like how women pee. Like that's hard to do.
Yeah, exactly. Also, like guys can control like where they're peeing. Like
there's no control.
What I think happened was the person who came up with this was like, I love pee and I want to receive women's pee.
Maybe you'd even just like bring your pregnancy test into IKEA, into the store. It's the same thing. Like
just get out of here with your pee-pee ads.
Okay.
Doug, those are the bars.
A lot of okay. good content.
Very
there,
popular.
Though.
Was just, that Fran or Rhea? Francation?
They were both in attendance, and they both had really the same take, that it was kind of disgusting. I didn't know about this, but apparently IKEA is giving a discounted crib if you pee on one of their ads.
Discounted crib? Baby crib?
Yeah, to show that you're pregnant. I don't know.
What? What? How would they know who did it?
You're supposed to mail these ads in with your...
Oh, bad idea.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm not 100% sure on how this works, so I might be butchering the idea, but that's kind of the concept.
I told you what happened years ago in Miami when they were offering free colon screenings.
Oh, mailing poop in?
Yes, that's what people did. One of the anchors at one of the TV stations had colorectal cancer. That was a big thing. I mean, Katie Couric, I think, had it one time, and they made a big deal of it. So it was a big deal. It's going back to the 80s. And so they said, what we're going to do to help the people in Miami is we're going to allow you to go to the drugstore and buy this little kit and then give us a smear of your feces and we'll mail that into the lab and they can tell you if you've got cancer and we'll save some lives that way. Well, people decided that they wanted to make sure that the tests got plenty of feces and they weren't sending a smear. They were sending entire globs of poop in envelopes. And the stuff started to stack up at the post office. You know, huge barrels full of this mail, full of poop. Became a health hazard. The stench was unbearable for the people. They said, stop, we can't do this anymore. Maybe you have to go to your doctor like everybody else.
Do you ever
the whole thing
get some of those letters, bring them home?
They weren't for our station. All right. It wasn't my station.
Hot scat play.
Wasn't that hot? No.
Well, it's waste, Doug, is what it is.
It is?
Yeah. Fecal matter.
It's the smear, and you're supposed to put it in a little bag, and people just weren't paying. They weren't following the directions is what they weren't doing.
Timmy Tom Tom says, well said.
Yeah, I agree. Whatever was said. Was said well.
Can somebody suspend Doug? This is Kraus.
That's what happened.
I already suspended
it
him.
It happened just that way. I crossed that out.
You did not cross it
I
out.
I did too. I almost absolutely crossed it out.
Why would you do that?
Well, because this is my suspension, Longue.
Yeah, but you crossed your own line.
Because it was an invalid suspension.
Doug must work for IKEA because he always is asking me to pee on his abs. Thanks. The hipster of Tower Grove South. He comes to all of our TMA lives.
Yeah, I wish he didn't. Hipster of Tower Grove South has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name, I mean right now, is going into a suspension logule that is indeed leather-bound. He'll serve a suspension to last a period of 2 days' time.
Tim, Nick, what up, y'all, told me that Keith Kachuk was on hashtag Team Daddy Padre during the Tim McKernan show when it came to the backup goalie situation. We did discuss that, Walter and I. We did discuss that.
Daddy Padre, big boy.
And that's who he wants in the Nets.
Daddy Padre, big boy.
What did he say?
Because
Kelly Chase is also Team Daddy Padre.
He said Steen is likely the most athletic guy on the team.
Yeah.
And he said you could put him in goal and he'd be falling all over the place.
He's a stick, huh?
I don't think that's the case. But this guy up in the seats,
well, I mean, this is Kelly Chase and Keith Kachuk saying it.
Yeah, I think they're saying it to argue with me.
What?
You really think Daddy Padre would be a better goalie than anyone else on the Blues?
Or Ernie Bjork was doing it.
No, not anyone else. Anyone that isn't a goalie. And Kelly right. Chase really believes that. He wasn't saying it just to him. And I can't imagine that Tim gave him a little wink and said, hey, Big Walt, how about just saying something to go opposite of Doug?
We haven't yet worked out, but I do believe in it.
No, I don't think they'd be a better goalie than somebody who's in the minor leagues. Or somebody who's a star goalie somewhere. This is a guy who plays Brentwood Huff and Puff Rec League. That's who we're talking about.
Right, but guys that have played NHL that you would think would have a better handle on it than you agree that he is a better option.
Now Dean Blandino jumps out of the league because he can't stand the commissioner, and he goes and he does this. He's terrible.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the guys would be quite the spastics that they're being made out to be.
Guys, the problem is they try to copy PMT's delivery style, but they aren't funny at all, thanks to Lionel DeShields.
Who are we talking about, us?
No, I think they're talking about Barstool Chicken.
Oh.
PMT.
Their delivery is terrible.
Do you listen to PMT, Plowhawk?
I don't really listen to Barstool that much.
You just listen to Fran.
What's
I listen
PMT?
To them.
Pardon my take. I think it's like the most one of the most successful podcasts going.
It
I
is.
Thought mine was.
And
call me Kitty Cat.
I know the guy who is really addicted to Barstool that listened to this show and going to kill me, but I just don't listen to it as much. I'll follow him on Twitter, and their takes are gradually getting a little worse. They're turning into ESPN without trying to turn into ESPN.
But I thought the whole point of Barstool was like kind of like The Daily Show was for Fox News. It's like a satire of ESPN. I thought that's what it was.
And I think some of their recent hires or some of their interns or some of the guys that they put videos out of are the hot takey guy more than... And
really?
To me, it doesn't seem like they're faking it as much.
That's your guy, KFC. He seems like when we play his stuff, he seems angry. But like Big Cat and PFT Commenter, for as limited as my knowledge is, they seem to be more kind of like
they are very
my
relaxed.
Kind of operation.
Yes,
yeah.
This is similar to this show where they bring up topical
and
things.
And those are the hosts of Pardon My Take, right?
Yes, yes. Mm. So I'm not a full stoolie like some people are, but it's a good, if you want, it's off the beaten path. You don't want to do the ESPN
thing.
You're not a
full stoolie?
That's what they call their, you know, like Lady Gaga calls them what? Little monsters?
Yeah.
People that like Barstool are called stoolies, I guess. I don't know.
All right. Do you have a problem with that name?
No,
I do.
I guess it's okay. He's just not a full stoolie.
I saw their thing yesterday. Somebody put on the fan page of them. I don't even know what two guys it was from Barstool at the AVNs. But it was terrible. They thought they were funny.
I don't even know what you're talking about. What happened?
Somebody posted something on the fan page, said, Iggy, this is what you're in for. And it was two Barstool guys at the AVNs. I want to say 2015.
Doug, was it 2015 when they were
I
out there?
I think
I was out there, too. I was at that.
Was.
I was at that one. That's when Riley Reid had a great year, I think. Or was that two years ago?
Did Rikishi go into the WWE Hall of Fame? Because he was there, and they were talking to Rikishi.
You're asking me at that point?
And he had on a shirt, 2015 Hall of Fame. But they weren't funny at all. I mean, they're going and just trying to be as dirty as they can and asking stupid questions. And
it's a try too hard.
It seems like
technique.
This show.
Yeah.
You know.
No, this show's funny at times, I think. They weren't funny at all.
But it's a matter of taste.
Right.
Someone could say that's not funny. What they mean is, I don't think that's funny.
God bless you. Kind of like the argument over best deli sandwich would continue to turn into like gang warfare.
All right.
Talking about LeGrand's?
I didn't find them funny. And probably people will hear my interviews from there and think I wasn't funny either.
Oh, no.
But I don't believe that'll happen.
But I think you'll be more on a serious informational mission. And I bet you'll deliver, sir. I bet this Lana Rhodes interview is the get. It is the get.
I bet it's really hard.
I may have to take her back to the media room to do it. So there's not just
you need a one-on-one.
I'm sure. Hey, let's go to a closed area, you and me, sister. I'm sure she'll be like, okay.
I think they prefer to do that if they have the chance instead of just standing there in front of their booth with people gawking around and yelling.
I will
screaming.
Say this. When we stayed at the Hard Rock when we were there a couple years ago, whether it was 15 or 16, that we would come down the elevators and there's like a kind of a lobby area for the side of the hotel where it is. And that's where a lot of the adult film starlets were doing interviews with gentlemen such as yourself. So they do one-on-ones. And I see Lana Rhodes 6 hours ago, Doug, and that was at approximately 3 a.m.
Right.
Tweeted out she needs to reassess what she's doing with her life.
Yeah, I think maybe you should.
One thing, I want to ask you a big favor. How about I come up to the station on Friday? Could I come up and meet you?
No.
Well, she retired once.
Now, are these people that you saw them doing interviews with sort of like maybe they bought 2 hours and so they go and they, it's sort of like
they're Twitter tough guys?
Yeah.
Nobody else in this town will cover the AVNs like me.
Mm.
3 a.m. to 5 a.m. every morning.
Well, Iggy, maybe you could get this gal to do a one-on-one interview if you say, hey, come with me. I'll show you how to do pull-ups.
Oh, I know I'll get a one-on-one with her. I don't have to beg her.
He just made a parody on the current headlines, right?
That's what it was.
Yeah. You didn't understand that?
I didn't. I thought we were talking squats.
Oh, no.
That's also in the headlines, though, too.
Right. I was just trying to help you get your interview that you want.
But I don't know what you were talking about.
Oh, that's what the governor apparently said.
If Governor Eric Greitens.
It wasn't worth repeating if you missed it.
Doug, that was a KMOV story. That was a KMOV story. You guys were, I was watching the news all over the place yesterday. Yeah. KMOV.
Yeah, sure was.
Who was the reporter?
Lauren Traeger.
Okay, not familiar with her work, but that was, so she did, a one-on-one with the ex-husband.
Right.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was just all audio recordings. And then I was watching NBC Nightly News and they showed them with the KMOV super over it. And then he was like kind of blurred out, I guess.
Yeah, he's the one that's so angry about the whole situation. I guess it cost him his marriage. But yeah, she was doing interviews, I guess, with networks all over the
country
yesterday. Yeah.
So she was able to get the interview with the ex-husband. That's why, that's what the, because everybody keeps saying that they had the audio, but they didn't want to report it because the wife, the ex-wife, would not speak and still has not, to my understanding, as of last night. I don't know.
I believe you're correct.
Right.
So it does couch it as. I don't
know all the specifics.
I mean, I could see people being upset. The governor has admitted the infidelity, and for a guy who kind of ran on family values, I could see people being upset. Whether or not there was a crime committed is still the question.
Yeah, that could be a reach. It's the blackmail part that would really get him in trouble. I think if we start throwing out of office every politician that had an affair, we would have a lot of job openings here. That's unfortunate.
But you could see if this woman was admitting this affair that maybe she said some things that weren't necessarily true to try to...
She might have played the victim card in front of her husband.
It's an hour-long recording. Did she know that he was recording the conversation? She did not.
No.
Good knowledge. Thank you, sir. And so Lauren Traeger of KMOV got the one-on-one television interview with the ex-husband.
Right.
Got it. Okay. But I knew it was a KMOV story.
I don't know where that's going. You think he'll ultimately be forced out over this?
I would imagine that he will do everything he can for as long as he can to not resign.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the type that's going to fold his cards.
This is the guy who bought GreitensForPresident.com. I mean, he has been on a mission to become the president. And every story I watched yesterday about it, up and coming, I'm going, up and coming. I mean, I realize for a segment of the population, but it's up and coming for that segment of the population. He's a very unpopular governor before this.
Yeah, I think you say up and coming if it's a younger guy who just got elected to a major office for the first time.
And he's getting money from all over the country, out of state, you know, but it's like, oh, he's like robo-candidate, you know. Oh, he went to Duke. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He's a Navy SEAL. He's a nice-looking guy. He's in his early 40s. He was a Democrat, so we can appeal to the moderates. Robo-candidate. And then, you know, he'll say whatever in order to get elected.
And then that was my
least favorite political candidate that was legit. And I will include Donald Trump in there that I can recall in my lifetime for a major office.
Was it the video of him shooting the Gatling gun?
It's just complete fraud. And this is before 48 hours ago. That, you know, because just like any other situation, I believe Eric Greitens should have the chance to defend himself as much as I dislike him.
Yeah.
There should be a process. That's what I believe. And I believe that for all of these things. And I think these social media pitchfork mafias that take people out before the process is an incredibly dangerous thing.
Or how about political people that hold political office now calling for his resignation before all the facts?
It happened with this person, and I understand that. I'm just saying across the board, unilaterally, I want there to be a process. Whether I like the person, dislike the person, it does not matter. And that's the principle for me. Now, I realize it's easy to say because I'm not in the business of managing government or a political office, and there may be reasons why they want that. But, you know, I was watching, I hadn't watched Donnybrook in a long time, but I'm like, oh, God, I want to see what they have to say last night. So, and I didn't know, and I ask this, and I'm sincerely asking it. Doug, you might have the answer. I guess he's on at the same time as us, and I would imagine our audiences don't overlap. Charlie Brennan, is he the morning drive host on KM, or is he middays?
He's on when we leave here.
Because he doesn't want to go up against us?
I'm sure that's it. I think he's on like at 10. Maybe he's on a couple hours earlier. Yeah.
Is he considered to be conservative or liberal, or is he kind of like this new conservative thing?
When I listen, he sounds pretty much down the middle.
Because I was surprised how it seemed like, I don't know, it's just he was very... I don't want to say, he was just defending Eric Greitens, which was like kept going back to it. Now maybe my read was wrong, but I was like confused by it. Obviously, Bill McClellan and Ray Hartman were going back and forth. Wendy Weiss was all fired up. Alvin Reed wasn't as active in the discussion, but they were, you know, I mean, that's what they do on the show. It's kind of hence the name Donnybrook. I would recommend, I like listening to that show anyway, or watching that show, I should say. Going back and forth on it, but the question was the same one you guys asked, or the cat you asked, was what will wind up happening. And I think he is going in for the long haul, and will try to not resign for as long as possible. But
yeah, I would think so. This will, I would think, end any hopes he have as of having a higher office beyond this.
But I recall you saying that about 30 times while Donald Trump was running for...
I thought that's the end of it. Well, Trump certainly had a base. He's got a lot of people that believe in what he's doing. I don't know that Eric Greitens has anywhere close to that kind of popularity that Trump had.
Mm-hmm. Well, he is also young, and time heals all wounds unless there's a criminal element found that he's guilty of, and he's able to stay in office. Maybe down the road he could get back on the national stage. Stranger things have happened.
Guys, what if the whole recording is just an opponent's elaborate scheme of making Greitens look bad? You were right, Tim. Got to let the facts come out before any decisions. And I understand that we're for the most part, that comes from the Hoosier of Huntley. And they have a big Hoosier population in Huntley.
Maybe a groundskeeper or two who's driven through the area.
But we're for the most part on the same page. What I would say is an investigation. Because facts come out, then it's more passive, an investigation, which then could open up more issues. Or it could be potentially proven that it was. I wouldn't put that past. It's like people hiring people to go outside campaign rallies and protest and cause crap. You know, that's why I'm an advocate of a process, an investigation. And even then, you'll still have people say it was fake or whatever.
But that'll happen. But there's going to be a few investigations
regarding this. You're talking about other.
No, but in regard to St. Louis,
Kim Gardner is now said that there will be
a state investigation as well. So yeah, it'll be investigated, and who knows what really.
Right now, they have no real victim. The woman's not coming forward and pressing charges, so they don't really have a victim to anything. They have a woman who was willingly involved with him in an affair, and her big claim is he took a picture of me when I was tied up.
But her claim to her ex.
He would tell everyone if...
Yeah.
But she's not coming forward and pressing charges, so they really have... They don't have a legal victim anyway.
Guys, Charlie's on from 8:30 to 11. He no longer does Fridays. He's a touch conservative. Thank you. That's the quality American.
Yeah, I don't hear a lot of it to know.
So he's probably, since he doesn't do Fridays, he's probably listening to us, taking notes.
Yeah.
Do we ever get that deal where we don't do Fridays or Mondays? We'll be a Tuesday through Thursday show
like that.
Rich Gould kind of did that, but he didn't really get it approved.
He just would not show up.
Right. Remember that, Iggy?
And nobody said anything?
It was a more passive situation also. You want to talk about passive? That was also passive. Then finally somebody, like, after a month and a half goes, hey, Rich isn't showing up on Fridays.
And I'd like that deal.
Can you imagine too if you corner Rich? He's such a nice guy. He's got such a great way. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. And then he kind of, if you were management, I think he'd talk you. No, you're right. You shouldn't work Fridays, Rich.
Guys, yeah. Brennan's a conservative. He's on from 8 to 11. Big Al was on KMOX last night. He called in to rip Eric Greitens. Then he ripped Right to Work. Then the host argued an anti-union message, and Big Al didn't know what to do and was a deer in headlights. I agree with Big Al's position, and I felt bad for listening to him fold. Guess it's a little easier to call into this nitwit program.
Probably, than someone who actually knows what he's talking about.
Your bad self. Elysium Restoration specializes in basements, kitchens, bathrooms, and home additions. Doug, come on over this weekend. We'll watch Titans and Patriots and say, look at that Titans offensive line.
I'm just as busy as I could be.
Elysium does quality work and has a track record of completing jobs on time and on budget. They work effectively with any budget, from basic remodels to your dream project. Plus, they do all this while podcasting like the Dickens. Jason started with an idea in a pickup truck. Over the past 20 years, he's seen every type of job, and in that time, Elysium has consistently provided excellent work at a fair price. Jason and Ryan take care of their customers by being personally involved in all of Elysium's projects, and you can call them anytime, erdstl.com. Now, I got my basement finished, but they also do kitchens, bathrooms, and home additions. I cannot speak highly enough for the work that Elysium Restoration does. If I could do more to tell you about it.
But you can't. You just can't.
I can't.
Any more highly.
I'm in love with the basement.
You know, it might help if you start flailing your arms about as you talked about Elysium. Flat.
Have you seen Elysium Restoration?
There, that's
have you
passion.
Seen? Yeah. But that doesn't. Does that help the audience? I know people watch us on MSNBC.
No, but it helps our brand.
It makes me want to get my basement did.
ERDSTL.com, Doug. That's where you go. Okay. Elysium Restoration Trust is one of the things they build. We'll take a commercial break. Come back with the 9 o'clock hour. This Hot Shots email of the day. Can Misty Plop sweep the week? And will it have an asterisk if he does, because I intended to vote for Tunnels 12,000 yesterday and screwed up? I don't know how that'll be viewed. And then we also have the Bird Early Cutlery Cuts of the Week. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.